Good morning.
Good morning.
Will you pray with me, please? Our Father and our God, we thank you that we can run to you. It doesn't matter what's happening or where it's happening, Lord, your arms are open. And your arms are waiting for us to run into them. Whether by circumstance or whether by choice, your arms are open. Father, I pray that you would be with us here this morning. I pray that your word would speak to us. I pray, Lord, that you would speak for me, as you know I don't feel very competent right now. I pray, Lord, that you'd be glorified. And I pray, Lord, that we would point people to you. We ask this in the name of Jesus and all of God's people said.
Amen.
So in probably late February, early April, our staff was kind of planning out what we would be talking about over the next few months and how we would continue to equip so that people could engage. And we came up with the theme that May would be a month of prayer, that we would be teaching on prayer and how we equip prayer to engage in prayer. And then the night of April 22nd happened. And God gave a real-life example that became very personal for me and my family and for all of you. If I would have known that God would give a real-life example for the theme of May, I would have picked something much peppier. I will ask for your grace this morning, because I'm not sure how well I'm going to do. It was great to be with you. But it's hard. As many of you know, Christy and I were in a car crash on April 22nd. And it's by God's grace that we're still here today. And our thoughts went to, there are a lot of people that always get to walk away from that. And our thoughts went to the Hornes family immediately. And that's probably one of the biggest things that I am, and I think we are struggling with, is why us? Why did we get to walk away? I had to go down to see the vehicle, which was totaled in the impound lot, because we lost a few things. Christy's phone, which was recovered. Unfortunately, my glasses were not, and so my family continues to make fun of me with these swirly glasses that I have on. Hopefully, my new ones will be here sooner or later, so my family will stop making fun of me. But we know that that was our thing, and we know that there are other families that don't get to walk away. We know there are other families that deal with cancer and other families that deal with loss in different ways. So this was kind of what we went through as a family, and are still going through. Christy would love to be here today. Hi, honey. But her big, bad, mean husband said, you need to get rest, and she does. And so Levi, is home taking care of her. If any of you know, Christy broke her wrist, had surgery, has a plate screws in her wrist, and she and I will both begin our rehab journey on Tuesday, and so we're hoping that we'll continue to make steps in getting better. And as we went through this, there was one seminal verse that God kept repeating to me in my head from the very moment it happened through the emergency room, through the ER, and has been kind of a verse that has sustained me and sustained us. And one of the things a friend said to me many years ago when something happens, one of the questions to ask is, God, what are you trying to teach me? And even in the horrible, difficult moments that we go through, the question still is valid. God, what are you trying to teach me? And so what I want to share with you today is the verse that God put on my heart in the midst of the scariest moment of my life. And maybe a little bit, I think, what God's trying to teach me. there's probably a whole lot more. And I want to read Psalm 28. And there'll be one verse in particular, but I want to kind of give you a context. This is David crying out to God, and enemies were coming for him and the people of God. It says this: "To you, Lord, I call. You're my rock. Do not turn a deaf ear to me, for if you remain silent, I will be like those who go down to the pit. Hear my cry for mercy as I call to you for help, as I lift my hands towards your most holy place. Do not drag me away with the wicked, with those who do evil, who speak cordially with their neighbors, but harbor malice in their hearts. Repay them for their deeds and for their evil work. Repay them for what their hands have done, and bring them back on them what they deserve, because they have no regard for the deeds of the Lord and what his hands have done. He will tear them down and never build them up again. Praise be to the Lord, for he has heard my cry for mercy." And this is the verse 7, that kept repeating to me: "The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in him, and he helps me. My heart leaps for joy, and with my song I praise him. The Lord is the strength of his people, a fortress of salvation for his anointed one. Save your people and bless your inheritance. Be their shepherd and carry them forever." I think the first thing that God is teaching me and has taught me is to be aware of the brokenness in the world and in myself. We live in a broken world, and in a broken, fallen world, people make bad choices. People make choices that not only harm themselves, but harm other people. For example, people drive drunk. The person who hit us was driving drunk. He was going at extremely high speed at 72nd and Dodge, and he hit us head on. He had open containers of alcohol in his car. He had firearms in his car. Bad choices impact more than you, more than me. My bad choices impact people sometimes more than they impact me. Because we live in a fallen world, we live in a broken world. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have fallen short of the glory of God." I know I have fallen short of the glory of God so many times and in so many ways in my life. And sometimes that impacts people I love. And the brokenness that's in our world, that's in all of us, there's none of us in here that aren't broken in some form, because sin makes us broken. We live in a fallen world. And God said to me, you need to be aware of the brokenness that is all around us. Brokenness makes you make bad choices, like getting in a car with alcohol. I'm reminded of this brokenness because I've had way too much time just to sit around and heal. Now, some of the things going on in our culture, maybe you have seen this story, but there is a celebrity kind of trial, and everybody loves a celebrity trial, and all the juicy stuff that comes out, and there's two actors, Johnny Depp and Amber Heard, who are going through a very public, very ugly court proceeding. And if you follow that at all, out of that has come stories of physical abuse, drug addiction, infidelity, alcoholism on both sides. And as I'm sitting there and I'm watching, I'm thinking, there's still brokenness with people. There's a brokenness with me. And the only difference between what happens with these two celebrities and what happens with me is theirs is public. Theirs is plastered all over the media for the world to see. But when I look in the mirror, I see my own brokenness. And when we were driving, coming back on a date that Friday night, we experienced the brokenness of someone else. We experienced the consequence of their brokenness by thinking that they could medicate themselves through alcohol and then get behind the wheel of a car. Brokenness is all around us. So the question is, how do we function amidst our own brokenness and in the brokenness and the consequences of others' brokenness in our world? We can't do it by our strength. We can't. That's why this passage was so powerful and is so powerful for me, because the Lord is my strength. That's what God was giving me that day. That's what God gave me. Because we didn't have any strength. We didn't know what was happening. Christian was driving, and I was, of course, checking the score of the Phillies game, which they were losing. The next thing I know, I turn, and there's a car coming right at us. We got hit through about four lanes of traffic by God's grace, and we were hit by another car. We spun, we ended up on the median, both kind of unsure of what was happening. We did not have the strength to comprehend in that moment the brokenness of our own lives in that moment and the brokenness of what happened, but it was God's strength that gave us hope. It was God being a shield. Just the verse said that the Lord is my strength and my shield. The Lord protected us. I don't know why. I struggle with that. I'm just being honest with you. I really struggle with that. Because I know not everybody can say that. But the Lord was our shield to protect us from that brokenness in that moment. And he was our strength. And he was our strength in the ER. When my wife was in tremendous pain, he was our strength. Along with the drugs. I'm not going to lie to you, along with the drugs. They helped. But he was our strength. He gave us the strength to stay calm. He gave us the strength to just say, we're alive, we're alive, we're alive. That's all we kept saying. We're alive, we're alive, we're alive. And he was our shield to protect us from becoming hysterical. And as we go through different things, a car accident, the loss of a job, a diagnosis, we don't have the strength in those moments. We don't. But we have to stop pretending like we do. But he's our strength. And he's our shield. And sometimes that shield is to protect us from our own thinking. And that's kind of where I've been struggling. The Lord needs to be my shield because my mind goes down rabbit holes it doesn't need to go down in any way. And that's why this verse was so powerful for me, because the Lord was saying, I'm your strength, I'm your shield. The Lord is taking your brokenness in the brokenness of this world, in the brokenness of the situations that we all find ourselves in. Ours was a car crash, but we all have our situations where we find brokenness. And we say, Lord, you're my strength, you're my shield. So the first thing I believe that God is teaching me is that there's brokenness in our world and there's brokenness in me. And I don't have the strength to work through it, the strength to deal with it, but he does. And that's why a relationship with Jesus is so important. It's so important. Because in that moment, I knew he was my strength. I knew he was my shield. No matter what was going to happen, I know that Jesus was going to be there. The second thing that I think God is and has taught me is to trust in his promises. And I can tell you without question, there was never a moment where I didn't feel the presence of God with us. Never a moment. God was always there. And the Bible tells us that God says, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you. And God was there. He was there in the midst of that crash. He was there in really unique ways. He was there in the seatbelt. And please wear your seatbelt. Please wear your seatbelt. He was there to protect us in a seatbelt. His presence was there. His presence was there in an airbag. All the airbags deployed and all the airbags saved our life. If those airbags don't deploy, we're not here. God's presence was there, but when our eyes opened up, there was a man by the side of our car. Are you okay? Are you okay? And he had a beard, and he didn't want to have long hair. I would have thought it was Jesus himself. But he had a short haircut. And he's like, are you okay? Are you okay? And we're just trying to figure it out. His presence was there with the OnStar service, which we didn't even know we had. All of a sudden, somebody's talking to us through the OnStar. I'm like, that can't be the Lord's voice. There's just no way. But we had this man that we don't know who he was to this day. But he was God's presence. Are you okay? We're here. He's on the phone calling 911. God's presence was through the first responders, who were all way too young and way too good looking for my liking. And they were there. And they were calm. Levi was at a locker. He was with friends. We had friends that would pick him up. And then I had to tell him the next morning that God's presence was there. And then I had my girl boss, my daughter, who just took over and has taken over. God's presence was with us through other people. People we didn't know, people we know, family, friends. And God was saying, trust me, I'm with you. I'm never going to leave you. I'm never going to forsake you, even in this moment. God said, I'm with you. God's with us on the mountaintop, and he is with us in the valley, and he is with us everywhere in between. But the only way that you feel the presence of God is through a relationship with Jesus. And I know that Jesus was there. He worked through all of the different people in our life. And I think what it must have been like for Daniel when he was throwing the lions down, and he sang that song this morning in prayer. Man, I'm going to pound you for that. But he sounded the song that, you know, when there's a mountain, there's no way through. You know, that's how we felt. And I looked at Daniel's story thinking, he was trapped with a lion. There was no way out. But God said, I'm with you. I'm not leaving you. I think of the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You know, they stood up, they wouldn't bow down to Nebuchadnezzar, so they were thrown into the fiery furnace. And it says that a fourth one, who looked like the Son of God, was with them. The presence of God was there. One of the ways that you trust in the promises of God is you cry out to God. And we cried out to God. We cried out a lot. But God said, trust the physicians. They know what they're doing. Even though they look like they're 11, trust them. Trust in the promise of God's healing. And God is bringing healing. Trust in God's promise of comfort. The medical folks did a great job with Kristen, but they also did a great job with me. Because they knew how upset I was. You hear your wife in pain. But God's mercy was there. People put their arms around me and said it's going to be okay. And I'm grateful for that. I'm incredibly grateful. And what God keeps telling me is trust my promises. Trust my promises. And so I want to encourage you, trust his promises. Whatever you're going through. And we all got stuff. And we all got stuff because we're all broken. And we all live in a broken and fallen world, and we all have stuff, and we got to be real. You know, we try to put up this front that everything's okay, but everything's not okay. And that's one of the reasons why Christy told me I was coming back to preach today. Because I'm not ready. But she says, you need me. You got to trust him. And so I am. So I want to encourage you to trust him. Whatever you're going through, he will never leave you. He will never forsake you. The last thing that God is teaching me is to live a life of praise. Now you may say, how can you say that? Because we don't have a car now. Christy's car is totaled. Both of us start physical therapy on Tuesday. And we get to play the insurance claim game. And it's not as fun as people make it out to be. Let me tell you that. But when you look at verse 7, the very end of verse 7, David says, praise God. My heart leaps for joy. Because God has heard his cry. God has heard his prayer. We praise God because God heard our prayer. God heard our cry. And it's easy to praise God in moments like a car crash or a job search or a diagnosis that goes the way that you want. But what about the daily praise? The praise that we have. I want to read to you Psalm 150. It says, praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heavens. Praise him for his acts of power. Praise him for his surpassing greatness. Praise him at the sounding of the trumpet. Praise him at the harp and the lyre. Praise him at the temple and the dancing. Praise him at the strings and pipe. Praise him with the clash of cymbals. Praise him with the resounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We need to be a people of praise. Praise God for the little things. Praise God for the big things. Praise God for the hard things. Praise God for the easy things. Praise God for your family. You know, even if you're mad at them, even if you don't like them, and don't look at them now if you don't like them. But thank God you got family. We know that there are people that don't have family because of a car crash. And that's really hard. Praise God for your friends. You got people in your life, and they may be complicated, and they may be drama-filled, but they're your friends. Praise God for them. Praise God for kind people who come up by the side of your car, who don't even know you, who say, "Are you okay?" Praise God for people who bring your family meals, because they know your family would starve if I had to cook. Praise people for going once, for bringing gift cards. Praise God for your neighbors, even if they put up a fence and you don't want them to. Praise God for your job, even if you don't like it. Praise God for your church. There's an expression that we've all heard say, live every day as if it was your last. So that's the almost one. So the question is, what do you do? I would say this, love people more. Love them. Love the people in your life. Love the people that are out of your life. Just start loving people, man. Like it's too short not to love people. Second thing is, forgive people. We get caught up in such nonsense, don't we? We hold grudges against people we know, and grudges against people we don't know, and we dislike people we know, and we dislike people we don't know. Forgive people. It's too short. Forgive people. And then pray for people. I mean, really pray. You all have prayed for us, and we have felt that, and we have appreciated that, and that has sustained us. And I want to ask you to pray for the man who hit us. Because there's brokenness in him. His life was so bad that he felt being that drunk, and he blew way past the level. And then getting behind the wheel of a car was a good choice. So we want to pray for him. We want to pray for his brokenness. We want to pray that he would be healed from whatever it is that is causing him this much pain. In this passage, we see that David's sorrow turns into song because of God. We see that his prayer turns into praise because of God. It reminds me of the story of the 10 lepers in Scripture. There are 10 lepers who are all struggling. They're all crying out to Jesus as he walks by. And Jesus heals all 10 of them. It's a miracle. They're all healed. They didn't do anything to deserve that healing. They weren't such special people. They just were healed because Jesus is Jesus. 9 of them never came back to say thank you. They just kind of kept on moving. But one came back. One came back to say, thank you for healing me. One came back filled with praise. I want to encourage you. Don't be the 9. Be the 1. Be the 1 person that thanks God. Be the 1 person that thanks God for that breath you just took. For that step you just took. For the beauty that you'll see in your life that surrounds you. Everything is blooming because all of our allergies are terrible. But praise God, you have allergies. This has been the hardest thing we've ever had to deal with as a family. But as a friend of mine reminded me, this is family. And I know it's been difficult for you, and I want to thank our amazing staff who stepped in and did a great job. I want to thank Pastor Tim, Pastor Grant, Pastor Brittany, Pastor Garrett. I want to thank our elders who said just rest. I want to thank all of you for understanding and for loving and for praying and bringing meals and gift cards and so many things. But this is a family. That's why I wanted to come and share it in this way, not a traditional kind of sermon. But I hope you take away these 3 things. There's brokenness in all of us, and there's brokenness in our world. And the only way through is that God is your strength and your shield. Let him be your strength. Let him be your shield. The second thing is trust God and his promises. And the way that you trust God and his promises is that you know his promises. And the way you know his promises is that you know him. And the way that you know him is through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ as your Savior and your Lord. And the third thing that God is teaching me is live a life of praise. Live a life of praise. There's more to be praiseful, if that's a word, praiseful about, than there isn't. As my wife keeps reminding me, we're still here. We're still here. Praise God, we got more work to do. And I'm grateful for God's grace. I'm mindful that there are others who didn't get the same result as we did. And that is a struggle that I have that I will need to pray through and work through. But I want us to continue to understand and trust in him. I want to ask the worship team to come back up. And as they come back up, could I pray, please? Father, I thank you for being here. I thank you for your presence, Lord. I thank you for your grace and your mercy. Lord, there's so many things we don't understand, but one thing we do understand is you are in the midst of our pain. You are in the midst of our suffering. You are our strength. You are our shield. Lord, our heart trusts in you. You help us. And so we live a life of praise. Lord, we take that praise that is in our hearts and we put it on our lips. And so, Lord, we stand and we sing to you the praise of a faithful God, of a loving God. We ask this in the name of Jesus.